So another thing I would like to remind you is this is the Lord's Day, and we need to worship Him, and we need to hear the words. It's the holy word of God, and no distractions whatsoever. And it's very annoying when you distract your neighbor or somebody, especially to me, and also to the other people around. So you have to be very careful, and no distractions. And this is the Lord's Day, and we need to take His word to our hearts, to our minds. And if we miss one part of it, we may miss the whole understanding of that word. So let's turn to, we are going to continue on the Sabbath day today. And today the subject that I'm going to give is legalism of the Sabbath. Legalism of the Sabbath. As we continue in the fourth commandment. Of course, we studied on part one, we studied the Sabbath day was ceremonial. I mean, the ceremonial part was abolished by the Lord Jesus Christ. The external observance of the Sabbath was abolished. Then we clearly saw that the moral part of the Sabbath still continues. Then on part two, we saw the creation, how God blessed the Sabbath day in the book of Genesis, chapter 2, verse 2 and 3, and made it holy. And we saw the blessing was from the greater to the lesser. Blessing always comes from the greater to the lesser, from God to man. Then we saw Sabbath was made for man. The blessing was for man. And the blessing came from God through Jesus Christ, as the Sabbath day was set apart and separated than the other days. It was a future event we saw through the redemption of Jesus Christ that we would be blessed. Also, we saw Jesus is the Lord of the Sabbath. And the Lord of the Sabbath lives, so the moral value of the Sabbath still continues. But if you speak to a dispensationalist or an Arminian on the Sabbath day values or the moral values of the Sabbath day, they will brand you as a legalist. They are so ignorant of the Word of God, they do not know how to distinguish between the ceremonial law and the moral law. In this lesson, what we are going to see today is very clearly we are going to see what is true legalism, and also we are going to see through Scripture on the Sabbath days how we can distinguish between the ceremonial law, how we can really see the ceremonial law has been abolished through Jesus Christ. And we know that Jesus did not break any law. Or the Ten Commandments, He did not come to break the law, but He came to fulfill the law in Matthew 5:17. Now, if you please open your Bibles to Luke chapter 4, starting from verse 16, we see the opening statements of Jesus Christ in His ministry. Luke chapter 4, verse 16, we see the opening statements of our Lord Jesus Christ. So he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up to read. And he was handed the book of the prophet Isaiah, and when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty to those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord." Then he closed the book and gave it back to the attendant and sat down. And the eyes of all who were in the synagogue were fixed on him, and he began to say to them, "Today, the scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." And we see here the opening words of the ministry of our Lord Jesus Christ. We see here that he was anointed by God. And we know that the seventh day was different than all the other days. Sabbath day is different than all the other 6 days. The seventh day was sanctified, separated from all the other days. And also we know that Jesus Christ is fully God. But also he was fully man. He had the same temptations, same feelings, and same emotions, just like any other man. But yet, he was different. He was separated from all the others. Although he lived among men, he was still sinless. He was separated from all the other men. He was sanctified. He was holy. He never sinned. In the same way we see, the seventh day was a blessing to man. And Jesus came as a blessing to heal the brokenhearted. He came to preach the deliverance and give sight to the blind. He did most of his healings on the Sabbath day, if you have noticed. He did most of his miracles on the Sabbath day. He came to redeem us and reconcile us back to God. When he spoke these words, he said, "Today this scripture is fulfilled." He is the Lord of the Sabbath. He is the Holy One who can redeem us. He is the one who can sanctify us. And he is the one who brought redemption. He is separated. He is different. He is unique from all the other people. He is the Holy One. He is the one who was going to come. And what a blessing, huh? Now, did Jesus break the Sabbath day? Let us. I'm going to show you some scriptures when you come to on this subject. How legalism, you know, comes in between and show that Sabbath break legalism has been totally misunderstood. So I want to explain that to you. And let us go to Matthew chapter 12, verse 1. We'll take a few scriptures here. Matthew 12, 1. At that time Jesus went through the grain fields on the Sabbath, and his disciples were hungry, and began to pluck heads of grain and to eat. And when the Pharisees saw it, they said to him, "Look, your disciples are doing what is not lawful to do on the Sabbath." He said to them, "Have you not read what David did when he was hungry, and he had those who were with him? Now he entered the house of God and ate the showbread, which was not lawful for him to eat, nor for those who were with him, but only for the priests. Or have you not read in the law of the Sabbath, the priests in the temple profane the Sabbath and are blameless? Yet I say to you that in this place there is one greater than the temple. But if you had known what this means, 'I desire mercy and not sacrifice,' you would not have condemned the guiltless. For the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath." This incident happened on the Sabbath day. According to the Pharisees, Jesus broke the law. Why? We see the disciples, they were walking through the grain fields and they were hungry. So what they did was they plucked some ears of corn and they rubbed between their hands like this to get the husk out. So rubbing the corn between the hands to get the husk out is like grinding, threshing. That's the form of work to the Pharisees. And, of course, the fourth commandment says, do not work. You do not thresh your barn field. And here, even if you are hungry, you cannot rub the ear of the corn. This was their version of the Sabbath law. The Pharisees were intent readers of the law. Anybody read the law? It was the Pharisees who read the law. But our Lord Jesus carried the war into the enemy's camp. And he asked, haven't you read? These guys were the ones who read. Two times he repeated, haven't you read? The Pharisees were legalists. I want to show you the legalism. They were legalists. Legalism is adding man's law to the law of God. That is legalism. It is an outwork of man's law, which God hates. Legalism has to do with man's traditions. It overrides the law of God. And here we see how the Lord dealt with the legalists as he went back to the scripture and said, haven't you read? The scriptures is the truth. The legalism, there's a covering of man's laws. You've got to rip it off with the scripture. Because the scripture has the final authority over tradition and man's work. If you turn with me to Matthew chapter 15, verse 1. Here, then the scribes and Pharisees who were from Jerusalem came to Jesus saying, why do your disciples transgress the tradition of the elders, for they do not wash their hands when they eat bread? He answered and said to them, why do you also transgress the commandment of God because of your tradition? Jesus said, why do you break the law of God because of your tradition? Then verse 9, you see, and in vain they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men. These traditions of the Pharisees are doctrines of men, not of God. The legalists, they love to observe the external part of the law, and they are very proud about it. The Pharisees, they diligently observed the ceremonial law. As they brought their offerings, they brought their sacrifices to the temple, and they were perfect. When it came to the outward appearing of the law, they were perfect. But the principle was wrong. The outward appearance was right, but the principle was wrong, because the heart is not there. The hearts are far away from God. They had only the outward form and the customs, and they added their own doctrines and traditions to the law and made them look pretty good. But their hearts were not there. The external worship was there, but not the internal worship. It was absent. This is legalism. As legalism put a heavy burden upon the people with their traditions, man-made laws, and man-made doctrines. They put a heavy burden upon the people. And you see in Matthew chapter 23, verse 25, if you turn with me, please. Said, woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you cleanse the outside of the cup and dish, but inside they are full of extortion and self-indulgence. Blind Pharisee, first clean the inside of the cup and dish, that the outside of them may be clean also. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you are like whitewashed tombs, which indeed appear beautiful outwardly, but inside are full of dead men's bones and all uncleanliness. Even so, you also outwardly appear righteous to men, but inside you are full of hypocrisy and lawlessness. Very clear there. Can't make it clearer than that. Now, talking about legalism, of course, the dispensationalist churches, they accuse the Reformed churches are the legalists, because we keep the Lord's Day. It's not true. We believe the internal worship of the Lord. Now I want to show you, distinguish the ceremonial and the moral aspect of the Sabbath. It was the legalists who keep the ceremonial aspects of the law. We don't. We don't add man's doctrines. We don't. We don't add new doctrines. We don't. We believe in sola scriptura. Bible is the final authority. The Reformed teachings clearly identify that the ceremonial aspect of the law is abolished on the cross. But the ignorant Armenians who cannot see the black and white, for them the ceremonial and the moral law seems to be the same, because they cannot see what is black and what is white. Cannot distinguish. For them the ceremonial and the moral law is the same. So they brand the Reformed teachings of the Sabbath as legalists. Now let us correct the Armenians and see clearly in the scriptures how the Lord Jesus Christ abolished the ceremonial law of the Sabbath. Let us turn to Galatians chapter 4, starting from verse 10. Galatians chapter 4, verse 10. You observe days and months and seasons and years. I'm afraid for you, lest I have labored for you in vain. Here we see there are some false prophets who crept into the church and wanted to bring back the bondage of the ceremonial laws back into the church. They wanted the church to go back to the seventh-day Sabbath. That's why he says days there. You observe days. That's the seventh-day Sabbath. The seventh-day Sabbath was abolished. It's the first day of the week after the resurrection of Jesus Christ. It changed, the Sabbath day changed to the first day of the week, which is Sunday. And we will study on this next week. And they were, for the Jews, these Jews, the seven-day Sabbaths were more important than the first day of the week. In the Old Testament, also we see there were sabbatical years. Every seventh year, the land had a rest. Every 50th year was the Jubilee year to the Lord. And the slaves were freed, and the debtors were proclaimed, you know, they were freed. And there was a sabbatical rest. And here, these false prophets, these Judaizers, wanted to bring back the old ceremonial Sabbath back into the church. And that's why Paul said, I'm afraid, you know, you're trying to go back again to the old system, the ceremonial law? No way. It's been abolished. Now if you go back to Galatians chapter 4 verse 9, it says here, but now after you have known God, or rather are known by God, how is it that you turn again to the weak and beggarly elements to which you desire again into bondage? Of course, it is very clear, the bondage. The word bondage is the bondage to the ceremonial law, not to the moral law. Your bondage unto a ceremonial law. Matthew Henry, in his commentary on this scripture, he says, "How is it that you have been taught to worship God in the gospel way, should you be persuaded to comply with the ceremonial way of worship?" It's a ceremonial law. Always the bondage is to the ceremonial law. God freed us from that bondage. You don't have to go through all the rituals, the traditions anymore. There are freedom in the spirit wherever the Lord is there. Also, if you turn with me to Romans chapter 14, verse 5. It's 14:5. Says here, "One person esteems one day above another, another esteems every day alike. Let each be fully convinced in his own mind. He who observes the day observes to the Lord, and he who observes the day to the Lord, he does not observe it. He who eats, eats to the Lord, he gives God thanks, and he who does not eat to the Lord, he does not eat and gives God thanks." Dispensationalists have a big problem in this scripture. He's speaking on meat and days here. Read the whole context on Romans 14, talking about meat and days. It's talking about the Jewish dispensation. The Jewish dietary laws, the Jewish days. So we need to understand that the church in Rome consisted of the Gentiles. The church in Rome. Also, the church had Jewish people. These Jewish people were trained to observe the ceremonial aspects of the law. Now they are in a Gentile church. They are saved, but they are in the Gentile church. So when it came to meats and days, they were more concerned about that. That's why Paul had to write this paragraph, write the scriptures. Matthew Henry, in his commentary, he points out on this scripture, he says, "Those who thought themselves still under some kind of obligation by the ceremonial law esteemed one day above another, kept up the respect to the times of the Passover, Pentecost, New Moons, and Feast of Tabernacles. Those who knew that all these things were abolished by Christ's coming esteemed every day alike." In Christ, we have every day alike. We must understand, with the exception of the Lord's Day, which all Christians unanimously observed, the apostle seems willing to let the ceremonial law wither, means died. And it was buried. The ceremonial laws were nailed to the cross. But the substance of the Sabbath still continues. You can remember the veil of the curtain with the crucifixion of Jesus Christ was torn down, and now we can come boldly to the throne room of God without any ceremonies, any rituals, any traditions. And we see in the Old Testament there were various sacrifices, various offerings, fleshly ordinances, foods and drinks, and all these were ceremonial laws. There was the temple in the Old Testament. There was a tabernacle. And when Jesus Christ was crucified on the cross, what happened to the veil? Which separated, the veil was the one that separated the holy place and the people. But it was torn from top to bottom. If you turn with me to Luke chapter 23, verse 45. What I'm trying to show you is we cannot take one scripture and make a doctrine. We have to take all the scriptures that pertain to the Sabbath and go all the scriptures and take all the scriptures and see the context, see the full picture. Cannot take just one single scripture. So we have to take all the scriptures. That's what we are doing. So if you turn with me to Luke chapter 23, verse 45. 3:45 says, "Then the sun was darkened, and the veil of the temple was torn in two. As where Jesus cried with a loud voice, 'Father, into your hands I commit my spirit.' And he said this, he breathed his last." The veil of the temple was torn in two. Not only the veil of the temple was torn in two, after that, in 70 AD, the Titus, the Roman emperor, came with his army and totally destroyed Jerusalem. And the temple was totally destroyed. Not only the veil was torn, after 70 AD, the entire temple was destroyed. There was no temple. And if there is no temple, there are no priests. Right? No temple, no priest. But we have a high priest who is seated at the right hand of the throne of His Majesty in heavens. The earthly tabernacle was destroyed. The external ceremonial laws was nailed to the cross. But the true tabernacle still exists. If the true tabernacle exists, then there's a priest. And who is that priest? Jesus Christ, the high priest. The formal ceremonial was nailed to the cross. The word, you know, if the true tabernacle, formal ceremonial was nailed to the cross, that kind of worship was gone. But now we can worship God in spirit and truth. So if the tabernacle exists, there is a high priest who exists. If the high priest exists, worship exists. It exists in its substance, not on the external way. So we worship God in spirit and in truth. All right, let's turn to Hebrews chapter 8. If we go along, it's going to get clearer and clearer. Hebrews chapter 8, starting from verse 1. "Now this is the main point of the things we are saying. We have such a high priest who is seated at the right hand of the throne of the Majesty in heavens, a minister of the sanctuary and of the true tabernacle, which the Lord erected and not man." All the ceremonial laws and the tabernacle in the Old Testament were shadows. They were pointing to the true tabernacle. That is the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ is the true tabernacle. The ceremonial laws that existed, it existed until the true tabernacle came. That is the Lord Jesus Christ, which brought redemption. Those are ceremonial laws went along with redemption in the Old Testament. Now you don't need those ceremonial laws, because Lord Himself became the sacrifice. If you turn with me to John chapter 1, verse 14, we'll be going back to Hebrews again. John chapter 1, verse 14. I want to read the Greek version so we can get the picture very good here. This is the Greek interlinear, what it says here. "And the word flesh became and tabernacled among us. And we beheld the glory of Him, glory as of an only begotten from Father, of full of grace and truth." Wow. The Word, God, became and tabernacle among us. So who is the tabernacle? Who is the true tabernacle? The Lord Jesus Christ. Now go back to Hebrews chapter 9, verse 10. 9:10. Says here, concerned only with foods and drinks, various washings and fleshly ordinances imposed until the time of the Reformation. What are until what time? Until the Lord Jesus Christ came. Then verse 11 says, but Christ came as high priest of the good things to come with the greater and more, what? Perfect tabernacle. You see that? He is the perfect, the ultimate tabernacle. Not made with hands, that is not of the creation. It was not made with hands, just like the Old Testament one. Got to make with hands. Says here, verse 12, now with the blood of goats and calves, but with his own blood he entered the most holy place once for all, having obtained eternal redemption. You don't need any more ceremonial laws. Christ delivered us from the outward form of the law. They were only shadows to come. And they were nailed to the cross. The ceremonial aspect of the Sabbath does not exist anymore. The ceremonial aspect of the Sabbath was nailed to the cross. It does not exist anymore. If you turn with me to Colossians chapter 2, verse 14. Colossians chapter 2 verse 14 says, actually verse 13 says that, and you being dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, he has made alive together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses. So you are already new in Christ. You are forgiven, you are pardoned, and you have risen from the law. You have risen together with the Lord Jesus Christ. You have a new life. Then verse 14 says, having wiped out the handwritten of requirements that was against us, which was contrary to us, and he has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross, having disarmed principalities and powers, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them in it. So let no one judge you in food or drink, talking of all Jewish things, okay, regarding a festival or a new moon or Sabbath, which are what? Shadows of things to come. But the substance is of Christ. There were Old Testament Sabbath day ceremonial laws. There were burnt offerings on Sabbath days. You find this in Numbers 28:10. Burnt offerings of every Sabbath, beside the continual burnt offerings and his drink offering. And you can go on and see Leviticus chapter 23, 24. You will see different ceremonial laws that was imposed on the Sabbath days. These are not anymore. These are shadows to come. So Paul had to explain to the church, when the legalistic Judaizers came, because they said you had to keep the ceremonial laws to be saved. And they wanted to go back to the Jewish ceremonial system of the law. So Paul had to expose the scripture of these false teachings and warn the church to let them know these new moons, the different kind of foods and drinks and the Sabbaths, they were all ceremonial aspects, was nailed to the cross. The word blotted out means it's cancelled. That means it was cancelled, or you can say it was erased in Greek. The ceremonial law is abolished. The word shadow here in the book of Colossians, substances of Christ, the word shadow here is skia in Greek, and the word body is soma in Greek. Also, the word body can be translated to substance. That's why some of your Bible have the word substance in Christ. So the external rituals of the Sabbath were the shadows, but the substance of the Sabbath is found in the Lord of the Sabbath, in Christ Jesus. So the substance of the Sabbath still exists. And let us turn to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 14 and 15. For he himself is our peace, who has made both one and has broken down the middle wall of separation, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, that is the law of commandments contained in ordinances, so as to create in himself one new man from the two, thus making peace. And here Paul talks about a middle wall as a wall of separation. And it's very clear the middle wall was a hindrance of making the Jews and the Gentiles into one body. It was a hindrance. And you can see in verse 16, and that he might reconcile them, was them, Jews and Gentiles, both to God in one body through the cross, thereby putting death to enmity. So there was a middle wall of separation, the Jews and the Gentiles. The middle wall was a hindrance for Jews and Gentiles both to come to the body of Christ. The middle wall has to be broken. The Old Testament was of the, you know, it has the ceremonial laws where the Jews were trained and they were to keep those ceremonial laws. They had to keep the ceremonial laws. And the Gentiles, they were not used to the ceremonial laws. They came to Christ by faith alone. Okay, there was a wall separated. And that has to be broken. And we see the gospel had to go forward. It needs to be spread to the Gentiles. But do they have to keep the ceremonial laws? Then the Jews got into the church, so the Gentiles also got into the church. So there was conflict. But we know we are saved by faith alone. The wall has to be broken down so the Jews and Gentiles will be in one body. So there will be no enmity between the Jews and the Gentiles. That's why Paul said in another scripture, we are all one in Christ, whether Jew or Gentile, a woman or child or any female, we are all one in Christ, right? So the wall has to be broken down. And we see the law of the commandments. It says there, the law of the commandments contain what? The ordinances. The wall is metaphorically used to express the plain meaning of what? The ceremonial law. That's the metaphorical meaning of the wall. It's the ceremonial law. That was the hindrance. That has to be broken down. So God required, of course, the wall metaphorically used to express the plain meaning of the ceremonial law. God required a circumcision, sacrifices, washings, you know, abstaining from certain kinds of foods. They were all ceremonial laws, and this wall had to be broken down. And this was abolished in Christ Jesus. It was nailed to the cross. Now, whether you're a Jew or Gentile, you all come by faith in Christ Jesus. No more ceremonial laws, no more middle wall. The torn or the curtain of the veil has been broken. The temple is destroyed. As one high priest, the true tabernacle, who is in heaven, and we worship him alone in spirit and in truth. The substance of the Sabbath continues, but the ceremonial law is abolished. The wall is broken. Amen? What a clear picture. So easy to understand. The dispensation is Arminians believe in antinomianism, which means they clearly violate, they even break the moral law of God. That's called antinomianism. According to the New Dictionary of Theology, you know, 19th century dispensationalism, J.N. Darby was another effort to void moralism. Law was identified as the way of salvation in the Mosaic dispensation. In the New Testament, it was by grace you can attain salvation. That's what the dispensation is saying. In the Old Testament, they were saved by the law. In the New Testament, saved by grace. It's not true. There's only one God, one Savior, and one faith, and one Spirit. In the Old Testament, people got saved by looking forward to the cross. And so, what did the Lord's Day bring? When the wall is broken down, the Lord's Day brought us freedom to worship without any ceremonial laws. The freedom was given to worship Him and not to have any fleshly pleasure. In 2 Corinthians, you don't have to turn with me. It's a short scripture. 3:17 says, "Now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty." So the Lord is that Spirit, and wherever the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Freedom for what? To do fleshly things? The Arminian dispensationalists, they brand the Reformed churches as the legalists. But remember, before the Reformation, we were under the bondage of Roman Catholicism. There was no proper worship. Only the priest was allowed to teach. Nobody can read the Bible. People were not allowed to read the Bible. The common people were kept in darkness. With the Reformation came the light of the Bible to the people. What did the Reformation do? It broke the bondage of Romanism and brought freedom to worship God. Worshiping the Lord on the Lord's Day is not a burden, but it's a joy. It's a delight to worship the Lord on the Lord's Day. It's not a burden. So the freedom of the Lord, wherever the freedom of the Lord is, there's no freedom for flesh. The Lord is of the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's freedom, and there's no room for flesh then. Remember, the Sabbath day was made for man. Just because you go to church on Sunday and do your little offerings and about 2 hours sacrifice to the Lord, And after church, you go and watch your football games and your favorite movies and go malling and do your shopping and spend all the rest of the time pleasing your flesh, not pleasing the Lord. Just 2 hours in the church and the rest of the day is for you. That's not the Lord's day. Listen what the word of the Lord has to say in Isaiah chapter 1 verse 10. Chapter 1 verse 10. Hear the word of the Lord, you rulers of Sodom. Give ear to the law of our God, you people of Gomorrah. Talking to Sodom and Gomorrah, huh? To what purpose is the multitude of your sacrifices to me? Says the Lord. I have had enough of burnt offerings of rams and the fat of fed cattle. I do not delight in the blood of bulls or of lamb goats. When you come to appear before me, who has required this from your hand to trample my courts, bring no more futile sacrifices. Incense is an abomination to me. The new moon, the Sabbaths, and the calling of assemblies, I cannot endure iniquity and the sacred meetings. Your new moons and your appointed feasts, my soul hates. They are trouble to me. I'm weary of bearing them. When you spread out your hands, I will hide my eyes from you. Even though you make many prayers, I will not hear. Your hands are full of blood. Wash yourself, make yourself clean, put away the evil of your doings from before my eyes. Cease to do evil, learn to do good, seek justice, rebuke the oppressor, defend the fatherless, plead for the widow. Excellent scripture. When Jesus came, He came as a blessing to man. As He did good to man, because He brought justice, He healed the brokenhearted, He brought justice, relieved the oppressed, healed the sick on the Sabbath. We need to remember that Sabbath was made for man. And it was made for man to do what? Not for our carnal pleasure. That's what they did. They did all the carnal pleasure and then they brought all the sacrifices on the Sabbath day. God said, I'm going to hide my face from you. I'm not going to listen to your prayers. So if you see somebody hungry on the Sabbath day, what do? You feed that person. If you see somebody cold, what do? You give them warm clothing. Huh? That is what Sabbath is made for man. It is made for man. Sabbath day is the acts of mercy. You come to church, you listen to the word of God, and the Sabbath day goes and pass tracts, give the gospel, help the poor. That is for the Sabbath day. We're going to learn more on this next week. So Sabbath day is God's The Sabbath is God's merciful appointments for the common benefit of all mankind. Because Sabbath was made for man. It is not a yoke, a burden, but it's a blessing to somebody. It's not a burden, but it's a mercy, showing mercy. It's not a hard, wearisome, kind of wait, but it's a benefit. That is the Sabbath day. It's a day of delight, joy in worshiping the Lord. There's freedom in worshiping the Lord on the Sabbath day. And that is the Sabbath day. The mill wall is broken. Praise be to the Lord Jesus Christ. And how God said in Genesis, at that day, how He's going to be a blessing. Huh? And how He's going to bless the Sabbath day. And also He made it holy for us. So we can worship. God is holy. And we must worship God in spirit and truth. We cannot worship Him in the flesh. Absolutely not. So the Sabbath day is given for us to spend the whole day, not just 2 hours. Because if you come here 2 hours and go back, somebody said, saw some of the Reformed teachings, I cannot remember who it was said, when you come to the fellowship, you leave all your worldly things at the door, then you come to the church. You know, and that's the way we come, because we are worshiping the Lord. As you are hearing, you are worshiping the Lord in spirit and truth. You give all the glory to Him. So, let me tell you, very clearly we saw in Scripture the ceremonial law that has been abolished. It's been abolished. So we are not legalists. Absolutely not. We saw that. But we saw who were the real legalists, the Pharisees. Outwardly they were clean, underneath they were all evil. And I'll tell you, you say somebody who is a legalist, let the pastor show an example to the people. Let the leader show an example to the people in their life, in their ways. And if, you know, the real hypocrites are the people who will talk one thing and you see their lifestyle is totally different. And we praise the Lord for the Scriptures. So let's continue next day. Alright? How to observe the Sabbath day. That's another big topic. So let's pray. Let's stand.